Today we're going to do something a little bit different before I get into the message. In your bulletins, I gave three questions. And as I begin to go through the message today, I want you to think about those questions and answer. Actually, take the time to think and answer for those questions. And then after each major point that I'm going to talk about, we're going to answer those questions. And I want to have a dialogue with you as a church. I don't know if it's going to sound good for the recording or not, because we're not going to have a microphone. I'll try to repeat whatever you say so everybody can hear. But I don't know that we need to be passing a microphone around. So we're going to try this. If it doesn't work well, we'll start passing the microphone around just so everybody can hear everybody, but we're going to try this without the microphone first. But I want you to answer those questions that are in your bulletin, and I'll go ahead and read those questions for you so you can see them. Question number one, what are some ideas for witnessing to your own family? Question two, how do we show that we care to our friends? And question number three, how do we show love and hospitality to visitors? So, we are wrapping up the Great Commission Month. It's been a fun Great Commission Month as we've had a couple of guest speakers. For those that missed it, I really liked when, I believe his name was Ian Coulter, came and shared with us about witnessing to the Muslim community. That was I just really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed when we had our other guest speaker here, and then when we had Monaco here that second Sabbath. It's just been a really, really great month for me as we remind ourselves about this Great Commission. We've talked about a faithful witness. A faithful witness has been our theme for this month. Having a faithful witness, and what does that mean? What does it mean to be faithful in our witness? And what does it mean to have a witness that we're faithful about? And we've talked a lot about that, the faithful part, the witness part. We talked about missions, because missions is a part of the Great Commission. We talked about evangelism to the Muslim community. And so I want to review the importance of the Great Commission real quick. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says this, He said to them, Jesus talking, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So it's very important to us as we review this idea of the Great Commission. We are commissioned to go and preach the gospel, share the gospel, communicate the gospel both in word and in our lives. May our lives be a testimony. May our lives be an example of that truth that Jesus is alive in us. May we be able to communicate that in word. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed to communicate in speech this truth that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, but also in our lifestyles. Amen. Go. He tells us to go. We have to make that effort. It's an effort to do something on your part, not just to think about it, not to acknowledge the truth, but to go, to do something. Where? To the world, to those that need to hear that truth. Those that do not know that Jesus loves them and cares for them and died for them, died for their sins. And we are to preach, to communicate that truth in some fashion or form, with our lifestyles and with our words, to every creature. I don't know if the dogs are going to care, but people sure should. Paul was desperate for people to know this message. The Apostle Paul, he was desperate for people to know this truth. But they did not always get it. They didn't always receive it. Even with the Apostle Paul, they didn't always understand or receive it or get it. And he says in Romans chapter 9, verse 2 through 3, he says this, that I have great sorrow and continual anguish in my heart. Paul was grieving and in anguish over this reality, for I wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brothers, my kinsmen, by race. He was so desperate for them to know that Jesus died for them, that Jesus loved them, that he wished he were accursed. That's not even remotely professional. If you were to be running a business, CEO of a company, and you would say, I wish I was fired from this company if it meant others could know this truth or this reality. That's not even remotely professional. It's emotional. It's intense. You can understand just the intensity of Paul's anguish, the emotion in Paul's words. There was a problem that needed fixed. Here's a problem here. They weren't understanding that message, they weren't receiving it, and there was a problem. They needed to know Jesus, and he was intense about wanting them to know their Savior, Jesus. I want to get real with you today. We like to preach about evangelism, we like to preach about missions, and give you a gospel or a biblical understanding of why we should do it, and that's good, and we should have those. But today I want to get real practical. I want to begin to answer, what does it mean to us on a very practical level? How does the Great Commission impact me? I know we're all called to do the work of an evangelist, or do the work of evangelism, but we're not all called to be evangelists. We're not all called to be missionaries. Some of us have jobs, and some of us have families to raise, and grandchildren that we care about, and we can't all go like an evangelist or a missionary. So how does this apply to me? What do I do with it? What can you do and me do every single day of every single week? Three areas of outreach that we can do every day. Three mission fields that are around you all the time. Number one, we have a mission to our family. Paul recognized the impact that Timothy's family had had on him, and he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I have a lot of scripture for you today. Remembering the genuine faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and that I am persuaded lives in you also. It wasn't the pastor. It wasn't the evangelist or the missionary. They had such a great impact into Timothy's life, and Paul recognized this. He recognized it was his family. It was his grandmother. It was his mother that had this huge, important impact in the life of Timothy that impacted his faith, got him to understand what it meant to be a follower of the Lord. His family is what was so important. They did not build a dead faith in him. They did not teach Timothy to just follow the mechanism of the Bible, but they instilled in him a faith which was alive. It lived in him, a living faith. That's what his grandmother and his mother was able to communicate into his life, something that he understood and grasped because of his own family taking him as a part of their mission field. It is important that we see this example as relevant. This is so important for us. We need to see this as relevant for our own lives. This is such an important example for us as we try to be able to make our family our mission field, that we make that important, that we understand the impact that we have on our own families, how important this example is for you and for me. There is a command by God in the law. He says in Psalm 78, verse 5 through 7, he says, "For he established a rule in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children who are not yet born. Who will arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, but keep his commandments?" This is a direct This is directly out of Deuteronomy chapter 37, where it talks about listening, that we're to listen to the fathers and listen to the elders, that they were to teach this to their children. You are to pass it on to your family. Your family is your mission field. You are to pass these truths on to your family, that they can know it, that they could begin to walk in it and begin to live it. They are one of your most important mission fields around you, that you can have that impact in their lives, that you can communicate love to them, and in so doing, also communicate the love of Christ to them. I want to pause here for a second. I want to ask this question. What are some practical ideas for making them our mission field? What are some practical ideas for reaching our families? Hopefully you had a chance to think about that. I want to hear from you. This is a dialogue. I know this is probably not going to sound good for the tape, but this is going to be a dialogue. Michael. So we want to communicate to them how the Lord has made an impact in our own lives, a difference in our lives. And hopefully as we do so, that's a real thing we're communicating, that the Lord has actually made an impact in me. And so by doing so, they can see that truth, they can see that reality. And anyone else? Anyone else? I want to hear from you guys. Yeah, Becky.
Encouraging peace in your family.
Encouraging peace in your family. Elaborate, if you would. How would this impact our families?
The way that we talk to each other, the way that we love each other through our words and our actions contribute to the peace in the home.
Yeah. So they can see God's peace because we're living in God's peace. By living in God's peace, they can see, hey, God's peace is real. This is something that's real in our home, not something that's just written in a book. I saw a hand back here. Robert. Oh, dedication to the Bible, to Bible study, that we are actually making this important in our lives. Let's make it a real thing that's important to us. Yeah.
Start young, reading scripture to them, teaching them how to pray, putting it in their hearts so they absorb more than you think.
Yeah, there was nothing wrong. She said, start young, teach it to your children now. There is nothing wrong with teaching your children. The Bible tells us to teach our children. I've heard it said, I've heard it on TV, in fact, we're indoctrinating them. But guess what? That's what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us to teach them. Yeah.
Forgiveness,
showing forgiveness when they hurt you. So forgiveness is a big part of you know, God forgave us, God forgives you. By us expressing that forgiveness, they can see that we're making that a real part of our lives. Absolutely. Bethel. Yeah, we are living it. We're being that example. So we are communicating it. We are teaching it. We're making it important in our homes, but we're also being that example. We're living according to it. We're living by Christian principles. There is nothing wrong with living by Christian principles.
Yeah, Annette.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, yeah. Actions. Show it. Live it. Speak it, but live it too. Yeah. Yes. There is a lost art of hospitality, and we want to regain that lost art. I'm actually going to talk about it here in a little bit, but hospitality is something we need to recapture again. Not everybody is comfortable. We'll get to you, Anna. Not everybody is comfortable with opening their homes, with letting people into their homes, but man, that is something we're missing. Is inviting people over and getting back to that hospitality. We don't like to clean our homes, or we don't like, let's be honest, we don't like having to take the time to clean our homes and get everything ready for visitors to come over, and wives hate it when men are like, hey, we're gonna bring people over. They're like, what? It's a reality, but we need to get into the mindset where this is important to us, hospitality. And I want to go to Anna and then to Rachel. Anna. What a simple thing. That is so simple. Just pray at mealtimes. Pray in a public place that people can see that. Your family can see how important this is to you, that you pray together as family. Rachel, I saw your hand.
Being respectful.
Yeah, absolutely. Being respectful of differences. In her case, she mentioned an atheist brother. and being able to be respectful of each other despite your differences. How important that is. Eddie, I'm going to go ahead. Allowing the fruits of the Spirit to be a reality in our lives. They'll see that. They'll see that God's Spirit's at work in us. I actually wrote down a few. I'm feeding back really bad, Tony. I wrote down a few. Living by Christian principles. I wrote down about letting our temperaments be guided by God's Spirit. And that has to do with the fruits of the Spirit. Allowing our temperaments to be guided by God's Spirit. Learning to ask the right questions with our families. Learning to answer questions. Knowing what we believe, why we believe it. Praying for our family. We have a mission field to love them, to reason with them, to pray for them. We have a mission to our family. Number two, we have a mission to our friends. We have a mission to our friends. Friends are a great blessing in our lives. Iron sharpens iron is what the Bible says. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, iron sharpens iron. The countenance of his friend. Friends can be an encouragement to each other. We can lift each other's countenance, impact each other emotionally, help each other emotionally and mentally as we lift each other's countenance up. Friends can sharpen each other's thinking. We can challenge each other's thinking. We can sharpen each other as we dialogue and ask questions and answer questions, and we sharpen each other and lift each other up. Here is a primary mission field, the second mission field I want to give you guys. Encouraging and sharpening your friends. Friends are better than not having friends, of course. If Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 10 says this, two are better than one because there is a good reward for their labor together. For if they fall, then one will help up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and no one helps him up. Friends can share in the labor. You can help each other out in the work, in the ministry, and in actual work, in actual labor. We share in that. Friends lift each other up when they're down. When we're hurting or when we're sad and crying, we're able to lift each other up, lift each other's countenance, Proverbs had said. I continue to show you this great mission field. Here is a mission field of friends, but there's a danger that Ecclesiastes gives us in not having friends. No one to help lift them up. There's a danger in not having friends. How important friends are. What an incredible mission field that we have because of that importance, because of how important friends are. No one likes to feel alone. David understood, the psalmist, David, King David, understood this in Psalm 102, verse 7. He says, I stay awake and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. He felt alone. He understood that feeling. Sometimes we feel like that, where we feel alone, like we need friends. He says in Psalm 142, verse 4 through 5, he says, I looked on my right and noticed, but there was no one who would care for me. There is no refuge for me. He looked around. He didn't see the friends he was looking for. He didn't see the care and the love that he needed. He says, no one cares for my soul. I cried unto you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Many of us can relate to David. We can understand what it means to feel alone, what it means to feel lonely, what a horrible feeling that is. But if you can relate to David here, you can also relate to his solution. He says, I cried unto the Lord. God is our refuge. God is able to be a friend when we need a friend. He is our refuge. And David looked to him as his refuge. So here is a great mission field. There are those that are looking. Maybe they don't understand that God cares for them. But they're looking for that care. They're looking for someone who cares for their soul. And here is a mission field. Care for your friends. Care for them. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 18? It says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend who sticks closer than the brother. Be friendly. And what does it say? And stick. Now, this is this is referring to Jesus in a lot of ways because Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother. But what's true of Jesus is also true of us here. We need to be that friend. Be friendly. We need to learn what it means to stick close to each other. So here's my second question for you that I want to dialogue and I want to hear from you. How do we show that we... I hope you heard Eric. He says, sacrifice time. Sacrifice our most precious resource, which is time, that we can do. Anyone else? Yeah, we need to be honest with each other, and part of that honesty, of course, tell them the truth, yes, but part of that honesty is being honest that we have our own faults, and we have our own failures, and that we are lonely too. Guess what? If you're lonely, we're lonely too. Let's be honest with ourselves, yes. Yeah, let's build trust, let's guard that trust. Because if they're going to share something with you, they need to know that you're trustworthy, that they can share it with you, and it's not going to end up on Facebook. Don.
Care about their personal lives.
Sure. Mourn with them. Cry with them. If they're hurting, be there for them. We don't always know when they're hurting, though. That's part of the problem, is being able to, being into a part of their lives, making community an important thing. You know, guess what? If you have church friends that you don't connect with outside of church, pretty soon you won't have church friends because they don't feel like anybody's connecting with them. We need to make those connections so that we know when they're hurting, so that we know what's going on in their lives. Was there another hand? Did I see another hand? Yeah, Anna.
We have a
doing things that are nice for our friends. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I want to just say thank you to those that when we had the tree that fell down out here, and I went and I chopped it all up and lined it all up, and then it disappeared. So whoever took it, thank you. you were nice to me.
Don't gossip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that goes back to what Michael was saying earlier, to build trust. If you're gossiping about your friends, you're going to lose that trust because they'll find out. I would include into some of our dialogue here, taking an initiative. So go ahead and put the scripture that was Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. Put that back up on the screen, would you, Tony? So I want to point out two very specific things that I mentioned earlier. One, being friendly. Being friendly, smiling and laughing with your friends and engaging them, being warm towards them, taking initiative. How important is it? We're waiting for people to come to us. We're waiting for them to be friendly and friends towards us. Don't do that. Take the initiative. Go give them a hug. Go be friendly towards them. Call them on the phone. Go visit them. Take the initiative. Be friendly. It doesn't say wait for somebody else to be friendly. It says be friendly. How important that is. And the second part that I want to point out is the stick. Stick. Again, make them an important part of your community, a part of your life. Not just on Sabbath, but during the week. Call them up, text them, see how they're doing. Plan stuff together. Plan outings with your friends. Stick to them. Make them important. Mission to family, mission to friends. You probably know where I'm going with this. Number three, we have a mission to our visitors. To our visitors. Now I want to point something out it should make sense to you. It's real simple. The way that we get people into our church, other than you and I going out and just cold calling them, essentially, going and saying, hi, do you know about our church? You want to come? The way that we get visitors is that we market it. They see our website, they see our signs, they see whatever we're marketing. They come and they visit. And then from there, it's important what we do towards our visitors. Mr. Rogers, he used to say this, he used to sing, won't you be my neighbor? And then right afterwards, he would go, hello, neighbor. And how warm and how friendly that sounded. Whenever Mr. Rogers said neighbor, the word like, won't you be my neighbor, it just came with a warmth to it. I felt like I wanted to be his neighbor. It didn't feel like an unfriendly thing. I wanted to be. In fact, there was an ad that was on TV that it wasn't Mr. Rogers, but it was him talking. The ad was about something else. And the moment Mr. Rogers talked, my youngest son, he looks up at the TV and wants to see what's going on. There was just something about the warmth of his voice, the friendliness of his voice that he had when he said, won't you be my neighbor? Jesus goes on, but who is our neighbor? Jesus tells us, to love our neighbor. Matthew 22, verse 39, he says this. The second is like it. He's talking about the law, about love the Lord your God. And he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Of course, he's quoting. He's quoting Leviticus there. But the key here was that in order to keep the law, in order to keep God's commandments, love kind of captured that. When we love God and when we love others, that captures this idea of keeping his truth, keeping his law. And so we are to love our neighbors. But he's quoting Leviticus. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against children of the people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So in this chapter in Leviticus chapter 19, it talks about the neighbor, talks about the gleanings. How many know what gleaning is? It's when you're cutting your field, when you're harvesting your field, and you leave a portion of that field for somebody else to come and kind of get for themselves. He talked about the gleanings for the poor and for the stranger. He talked about not defrauding our neighbor. He talked about protecting our neighbor. And then he says this in chapter 19, verse 34. He says, the foreigner, your Bibles might say stranger, who dwells with you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself, for you were foreigners in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Who is our neighbor? Well, it's pretty clear it's one that's not a part of your group. It's the stranger. It's the foreigner. One that's not a regular part of your group. They are your neighbor in this context, according to Leviticus. We are to, according to this text, we are to pay special notice of them. Make sure that we notice that they're there, that we pay attention to them, that we care for them, that we love them, to love them as ourselves, to treat them as a part of the group. They are one as one born among you. We're to treat them as a part of the group. Love and welcome them. What else? Hebrews chapter 13 tells us to entertain them. It says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unknowingly. Entertaining them, to be hospitable towards them, to be welcoming and to take them out to lunch or to invite them over to your home. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 again says, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. What a lost art. Hospitality, entertaining strangers, being hospitable towards visitors, towards our neighbors, towards those that aren't actually a part of our group, but they're coming to visit us. So how do we, and here's my third question for you that I want to dialogue today. Not a respecter. We don't want to be a respecter of persons. God's not a respecter of persons. We don't want to treat them any differently. Something super simple is, you know, when a visitor comes, they don't know anything about our building. One of the things that our greeters, but you can help with this too, is just show them where the bathrooms are. They don't know where the bathrooms are. I mean, something super simple. Anybody else? How can we show love and hospitality? Yes, Anna. Just taking the time to talk to them. I've been in churches where they don't get visitors very often, and so when you're the visitor, it seems like everybody sucks down on you. But honestly, I would rather have that than to be ignored. So, anybody else? Okay, being friendly, talking to them, getting to know them. Yeah, Charles.
Can you briefly tell them your name?
Tell them your name. What a simple thing, Charles. Just tell them who you are. Hi, I'm such and such. So, invite them to lunch. That's absolutely. And we got across this hurdle where we're scared of our homes. Scared what they look like and scared how messy they are. I don't know if it means cleaning on a Friday or what, but we got to get to the point where we're willing to invite them over again. It's so important. Yeah, Rachel. Offer to pray with them. Yeah. Praying for our visitors. Let me tell you something about our visitors. We get visitors every now and then, but we've had visitors who came so often to the point where I wouldn't classify them as visitors anymore. And then, like, months later, somebody would go, are you new? Have you been? They didn't know them. The blinders were on and they didn't even see that the visitors were there. And that's a shame. We need to be able to look around us and see who's not a part of us, who needs for us to engage and talk to them and let them know that we love and care about them. Anyone else? Visitors? Eric? I've never been there, but I believe you. Just the spirit of hospitality is something that we have to adopt in our hearts, that spirit of hospitality. We were once there. We were once the foreigners. Put that scripture back up, 1934. Leviticus 1934. We were once them. We were once the visitor. We were once the foreigner. We were once that person that needed to be shown where the bathrooms were and where the kids' program was and all of that. We should be able to relate. We wanted that love. We should in turn have that same spirit of hospitality. All right, our mission to our visitors. There are three mission fields, and I've been really, this is probably one of the most practical messages that I've preached in a little while. There are three mission fields that you and I can reach every single day or every single week, and here they are. Family. We can reach our families. What an important mission field that we have. We can reach our friends. Our friends are so important. They are so important. Make community absolutely an important thing. Number three, we can reach visitors when they come. Make them feel warm. Be hospitable towards them. Let's see just how white the mission fields around us are and begin to make a difference for Christ. Amen.